Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. And I am going to play a song for you, and here we go. I hope you like it.
Shalom, which means peace.
Oh,
Shalom, everyone. We thank you so much for calling in and being continued listeners. We have quite a few people in the chat line. We'd like to say welcome to those individuals that are in the chat line to the Nation of Yehuda's radio program called the Yehuda Project. My name is Yaina Israel, and I am going to open up the line to my co-host. We have some exciting guests that are coming on today, and we're really excited. Brother Adonia, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. Are you hearing me?
Shalom, shalom. How's your week been going? How's everything going?
Well, everything's pretty good. My phone is in and out, so please excuse me. I don't know what the problem is. I have no control over it.
All right, not a problem, not a problem. I just want to open up the lines and give everyone a chance to actually call in. We have had an enormous response to the Yehuda Project. And we want to thank all of you all for listening and being and your continued commitment to our radio show. We also have individuals that are out there who have emailed me, and they have all types of products and services and websites and ideas that they put forth for us so that we will be able to introduce them to the Nation of Yehuda, the people that are associated with us. And we're waiting on a few people to come online. If you are one of the guests that I invited on the line, please push one now so we can get you on so that we can discuss some of the ideas that you may have for the Nation of Yehuda. Brother Adonia, so tell me some things that are going on in current events this week.
First of all, a lot of things going on here in the United States, man. That Ebola scare is really, really something. And I'm kind of stuck on that right now because Africa has been the Africans have been in Africa for hundreds of years. You understand? 2,000 years, we know for sure, since the time of Noah. And they've been living pretty good. All of a sudden, when them Europeans started going over there, they get all the diseases under the sun. Something wrong with this picture. So I when they say Ebola and everything, what they had said early on, what the Europeans had done early on, they cut Africa up so that that the French will have a part, the English will have a part, and so forth and so on. But all of them was Europeans that cut Africa up. Chinese got a part in Africa now, and it's all about the minerals that they have, whether it be gold, silver, or oil, and precious jewels. They all in there trying to rake the country of what it got. And they kill it. And from my point of view, I think that they kill it. They're trying to kill all the Africans or any kind of resistance. That's just my point today. So I'm really concerned with those particular things that they're doing. You understand? We know for a fact that those people are the coolest people on the face of the earth. Everywhere they go, you understand, they kill people. Period. If you don't agree with them or don't want to turn over your minerals, they will kill you and take it. So I understand. So that's my point right here today. And maybe I'm not supposed to feel what I'm feeling, but I feel for people. You understand? Look at how those imposters in Jerusalem is just devastating that land. Them people can't. It'll take another 100 years for them to really put back that land to live on it. And they're pushing them Palestinians off into the Mediterranean Sea. You understand? The reason why them Palestinians is fighting back or putting up any kind of resistance is because the Palestinians had put them in a position where they could where they couldn't they wasn't supporting their own self. The Israelis, so-called Israelis, they control everything: the water, the electricity. You only get three or four hours of electricity a day, and this just didn't start. They were supposed to let go some of those people that they took captive because of them three little kids that got murdered, that they took of the Palestinians, and without any evidence, they went apprehending all the Palestinians. They didn't have no evidence that anybody did anything, you understand, to them three children. And they were supposed to let them people go, and they waited and waited, and they never did. And this is the control that they can just come all across the border there and just do what they want to people. Those are people that are the coolest people on the face of the earth. That just shows me that they'll do anything. And we got to be careful, man. They got weapons of mass destruction, silent killers, gases that they can dispense and knock out a region or area or any group of people. These people are cool, boy. Ooh-wee. And I can't wait till the Almighty do his thing, because they all got to pay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know what? We're going to look into that right now on the show. We have someone who has pushed one. I want to get them on the show so that we can talk about their issue, and then we're going to come back to that momentarily. Area code 754, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom.
Shalom.
How are you, darling?
Shalom. I'm well. This is Sister Tara Stephanie.
Oh, shalom, Sister Stephanie and Tara. How are you? It's nice to meet you. I'm sorry I have a cold and my voice is a little frayed, but it is very, very nice to meet you and to hear your voice.
Yes, nice to meet you all and hear your voices and to be able to share with you and... You know, all praises to Yahuwah most high.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, can you tell the listening audience where you're calling from and what kind of company you all have?
Sure. I am calling from South Florida, United States of America. And I don't have an official company. I am just what you would call, I guess, intermediary, a financial intermediary. And, yes, but I have my hands in the commodities arena. Mm-hmm. And we do quite a few things. We, as in the help of, another brother and some other business partners, that we have, but we mainly deal in raw gold and rough diamonds, and I myself have an affiliation also with rough and polished opal.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a relationship with a New York City hedge fund that if you're able to raise capital for them, you can share in 20% of the profits.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you know what? It is an honor and a privilege to meet you. We are definitely interested, and when you emailed me, I was definitely interested in all of the commodities and the raw gold and the mm-hmm. stones and all of that information. I wanted to introduce you to our community to let them know that we're receiving information from people all over the country, all over the world, with all sorts of backgrounds. And from my understanding, do you do trading as well? Are you trading on the market?
Not personally, but through the hedge fund, yes, they do actually trade in, yes. They trade on, the New York Stock Exchange and things like that. through the official exchanges, but in terms of commodity trading, yes, there's private commodity trading that can go on with the gold and with the diamonds, and you know, whether they be rough or polished. So so there's that trade, and then there's also the private trade, which involves investors.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I did look at your website, and we are going to give that information out to our listeners. I was just trying to find out if people wanted to invest in the raw gold and turn their dollars into raw gold, how would they go about doing something like that?
That's a good question. they can, it would depend if they want to actually receive delivery of that raw gold, or if they wanted to, let's say, buy a gold certificate. There's different programs. So it just depends if they want to do it more on an investment side, if they want to put it in there see it. Gain the movement of the gold, they can do that. If they want to receive delivery of the gold, then that's a whole other story. But you know, I have connections with people in Ghana that have the actual, you know, their actual miners. You know, so I'm a seller, what they would call a seller mandate for that actual gold mine and a small group of miners. Then I also have a connection with this New York City hedge fund, which they take, you can invest in the movement of gold in the stock exchange. And the way how is how you would say strategies, you can take the movement whether the gold goes up or down. So that's also good. And then there's also a private bank in the Caribbean where they offer a gold certificate where you don't actually have to take delivery of the gold, but you can buy a gold certificate off of a mint in Perth, Australia. There's a lot of, and then, you know, you can also buy the gold coins, you know, so there's a lot of ways that you can invest in gold particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different ways.
That is absolutely wonderful. We have a lot of people on the line, and there's a lot of individuals on the line who are financially able to do this. And if we decided to do this as a nation, because we are right now establishing our trust, and we would like to be able to back up and have the gold, you know, as a foundation for the nation of Yehuda, and put it in gold bullion. I'm not sure if I want the certificates. It kind of scares me a little bit because, you know, there again, someone else has access to it. I'm swaying on whether I would like to invest in the certificates or the actual bullion cubes, the bullions themselves, so that we will be able to actually have physical gold in our possession. What do you think about that from a nation standpoint?
Oh, that actually is very smart. That's a very good idea because, you know, paper money is not valid, so to speak. So if you have the raw commodities, if you have the gold, if you have the diamonds, if you have the silver, that is definitely a good idea. So you definitely should, if you can, you know, buy the gold and have that as a way of amassing wealth and keeping it in something that is physical. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, what is gold trading for right now on the market? What is it per ounce? Do you know?
No, I can look that up.
Brother Donia, do you have any questions for her while she's looking that up, or?
No, not really. You asked a question that I was just thinking of asking. What is the what are they selling for on the market? And is it by ounce always?
By ounce, or you know, you can buy like the kilogram. You can buy the kilogram gold bars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just. I'm showing it's trading at 1293, so $1,293
per
ounce.
That's a pound?
That's an ounce.
Oh, ounce, okay. And that's because of the dollar, the dollar has decreased what it used to be. A dollar ain't what it used to be.
Oh, most certainly. It sure isn't. It sure isn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, theoretical living, because I have to tell you, you know, I have to be very upfront. You know, I really haven't made any commissions, you know, so to speak. But I make a living on is the connection. So that's why I can speak on these things, but I'm not licensed. I used to be a Series 3 licensed commodities, broker, where that would involve, the financial contracts with a, introducing broker on the, the Chicago Board of Trade or the New York Board of Trade. But, if you guys, were interested in something like this, I could definitely get you to the people where you can buy it physically, where you can go on the exchange. That's how I make a living on the connection. So technically, you can listen to me, but I'm not the official a point person. I'm just intermediary,
person
to be able to point you in the right direction. I do want to be very, very upfront, with you.
That's fine. That's understandable. Well, I don't have any more questions for you at this point, but I see that as a future endeavor. And the money is falling off so bad. I mean, American dollars falling off so bad that those commodities is going to be more vital today. I mean, in the future coming, because this money is really falling away real bad. They was thinking about the America was thinking about changing the currency to the euro. But the euro is in just as bad a shape.
Yeah. And see, that just goes to show you, about the prophecies that, because another brother and I were talking about it, that, yes, the commodities, they're going to be expensive at one point, but, at another point, it's just going to be virtually, worthless.
That is correct. I understand. In fact, you understand, the commodities that are being paid for today, that's it's going to just be trading amongst commodities. It's not going to be no dollars, or it's not mm-hmm. yeah, it's not no currency. That the currency will be the commodity itself.
Right.
Exactly.
The barter. We're going to go back to the bartering. Oh, you have
correct.
A cup of rice. Well, a bag of carrots. I got some apples. I have
that
a desk.
Correct.
I have. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this was never.
This question, Stephanie, yeah. if you don't mind, because we have a lot of people mm-hmm. on the line today that have 401ks. They have Roth IRAs. They have invested certain amounts of money for their retirement. Do you think that it would be a better opportunity for them to invest in the gold and the diamonds and transfer those dollars that they have that they're able to use actually into gold or diamonds? Because, you know, a lot of people will ask the question on this show, like, well, how does that benefit me? What advantage
right.
does it have for me? But what we're trying to do today is to introduce you to let you know that we have people that are contacting us that are on all levels. We're dealing with people from the financial background, from trading to farmers. Mm-hmm. These are the people that are in Israel. These are the people that the Most High is bringing to Israel to let you know that we're well-rounded and we have a wide base of education and knowledge in every area that we need to have. So, you know, this is the purpose for bringing this young lady onto the show to give you all information because, like Brother Adoni, I said, the dollar is basically going to be worth, it's not worth anything now. You know, so if we can mm-hmm. transfer that money into gold, and that's why they yeah. continue to gather in all the gold and they started collecting all the gold back from the people. So, again, my question is, do you think it's a good idea for them to take the money that they have that's available and invest it in gold instead of hoping that when they retire the dollar will be worth anything?
Right. Well, my personal opinion would be to diversify. Yes, it's mm-hmm. good to have the physical gold. It's good to have the physical diamonds. But, you know, in the end, when, you know, everything crashes, you know, you'll still be able to barter possibly, you know, you'll have a better chance of survival if you do have the gold, if you do have the diamonds in a safe or with you somewhere underground, under your bed or wherever that you have, you can have that. But then also, yes, you know, diversify in certain stocks or commodities on the exchanges so that you can take the swings that are happening now. You know, you can take advantage of the swings that are happening now in the market that is very, you know, it's still very volatile. You can take advantage of that volatility, come out, and then go back into purchasing, you know, the opal or the diamond or the, you know, the gold, you know, so it has to be diversified because you don't want to put yourself in just, you know,
one area.
Thing. Right, just diamonds, just gold, just stocks. You know, in my personal opinion, you would have to be diversified. You would have to. You know,
and
I think that's what.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was just saying, I think that's what drew me to the hedge fund because they do have all of their hands in you know, different areas. You know, the hedge fund manager, he's a young guy and he's very smart, and so his strategy is to diversify. So when he's most of the time he is talking about straight stocks. But the stocks that he's picking are, you know, in FX. It's in currency. It's in, you know, gold. It's in diamonds. It's in these certain stocks that have proven, you know, they've proven that you can go ahead and you know, take advantage of the volatility. I think that's what drew me to the hedge fund, because they do, they preach, you know, diversity.
Well, I think that's marvelous.
That's great. So let me ask you this question. According to prophecy, and, you know, we pay very close attention to the prophetic journey that we're taking, this one-world government is eventually going to go to a one-world currency. Do you have any, from your personal opinion, what do you think that is? Do you think that it is, do you have a currency in mind, or do you think that they're going to eventually come up with one that we haven't heard of yet?
Oh, that's a good question. I've been thinking about that because I used to be a currency broker too, and I would always think of, I mean, I did have my mind on the Amero, you know, but honestly, I think it's going to, it would make more sense for it to be something digital, like, I forgot, like the Bitcom or something like that. It would make more sense, you know, of late. You know, I've been watching that Bitcom, and it's looking very attractive for a one world.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't really regulate it, but, you know, I think my final answer, I think it's going to be something new. It has to be like a conglomeration of all of those, something that we've seen, you know, something that we've seen, but then that's also digital.
I heard, and I got inside information that Rockefeller is trying to get us to get chips. He won't have. It would be like the credit card. Once you have this chip in you, you understand, it won't be no more transference of any kind of money. They will have a record on how you spend your money. And once you spend up that money on whatever it is for that particular month or however they got it situated, you understand, you're going to starve for the rest of the month because you ain't got nothing on your chip.
Exactly.
And this is Rockefeller, man. This is one of the people that's close up there with the Rothschilds. You understand? He's got he's one of the richest people in America, Rockefeller. And the Rothschild, what's his name? Evelyn Rothschild. He's got $500 trillion. That's half the currency of the world.
Wow.
Absolutely. And understanding the banking system, and his name is Evelyn D. Rothschild, understanding the banking system and knowing the whole stock market and the commodities trading and import-export and all of the things that are going on right now, this is a perfect opportunity for us to get involved and start to figure out how we're going, what we're going to do with the currency that we're currently making, because I do agree with you that it will be digital, something that they're going to try to control. And as Brother Adonai said, you know, the whole plan is to put all of our information on a RFID chip that we will be able to scan inside of our bodies and deduct from an account. So the physical currency that we continue to hold in our hands will be no more, you know, and these are the things that we have to begin to discuss so that people are made aware of exactly where we're going. You know, and we're getting there fairly rapidly in terms of how they're preparing and getting things set up. So, you know, this is why we wanted you to come on, you know, because if you were once a commodities trader or you traded in currency, international currency, right now, which currency do you think is the strongest on the market today?
The strongest? That's a good question. It's definitely not the dollar. I say they're all pretty weak, but I know the euro is stronger than the dollar right now. So I would say the euro. Out of all of, you know, the popular ones, I would have to say the euro.
And in knowing that, because we tell people all the time what dire straits we're in right now in America, because our dollar is not worth anything. We owe out more than we own. Knowing that, how long do you think we will be able to survive as a nation when our dollar has depleted down to, what do you think is worth, a dime, a quarter, 50 cents?
That's a good question. I don't think I have an answer for that one. I don't have an answer for that one.
All right. Well, you know what? Someone has pushed one, and I think they want to join in on the conversation. One moment, Stephanie, and we'll be right back with you. I still have your mic open, so please don't go away. One moment. Area code 314, go ahead. You're on the air.
How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good.
How
about
you?
What's going on, brothers? Look, this is Pianki. I was listening to your conversation. I'm doing pretty good. Now, the U.S. dollar is still the number one trading currency in the world. But, yes, you do. It's the number one currency that if you go out and buy a 12,500 metric tons of coin, you're gonna make that transaction in U.S. dollar. If you buy it from Singapore, if you buy it from someplace, U.S. shores, if you bought it from an African country. But that won't be the case, you know, for much, much, much longer. It's going to be the case for a while. Now, the dollar still will be traded here in the United States. When you go to the store and buy goods that's produced in the country, you're still going to be paying for U.S. dollars. But the goods that come into the country, the people that's bringing them in may be paying for them in a different currency. But you know, it's just like the British pound. British pound used to be the number one currency in the world, but it's no longer. But it is still used in Britain, and so I just wanted to put that out there.
All right, all right, Sister Stephanie, you have any comment on that?
Oh, I agree. I certainly agree with that. You know. There's a lot of talk about the dinar, you know, the Kuwaiti dinar. And, you know, a lot of people think that that's the strongest in, well, any dinar, really. And I wonder, thinking about prophecy and a lot about, you know, the ISIS rising up and things like that. I wonder if that we might see, you know, current, you know, of a dinar, you know, with the things that are coming about.
It's quite possible.
I got a question. My question is how come when I go to the store and buy my grocery, I don't get as much for my money as I used to? Because the dollar has depreciated to a certain point. You understand? Now, it's not trade. It might trade. It may not be trading on the market. It may be trading. Other things might be. I mean, they may be using other currencies on the market. But in America, the dollar is depreciated down to 33 cents. Pretty close. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because things in America overpriced. Now, if they raise the price, if they raise minimum wage up to what they're talking about, $15 or $20 an hour, well, if for instance, suppose that you produce bubble gum, and the ingredients that you produce bubble gum with last week you paid, say, $20 for, well, if you increase your wages to $15 an hour and where you buying your ingredients, well, next time you're going to pay $25. So you're going to either have to stretch those ingredients to be able to increase the amount of bubblegum that you produce out of the same ingredients, or you're going to have to raise the heck out of your prices in order to cover your costs. So that's why come that's going on. I mean, a bell pepper though shouldn't cost no dollars 19 cents. Well, not, it does. And I remember when bell pepper used to cost 38 cents. So that's what's happening there. The cost of, I mean, they keep wanting to raise minimum wage. They keep raising prices. And sooner or later, that's going to catch up with you. And also the way that the country go about doing business, for instance, with debt financing. When you create, when you go out and build something, then you print money to pay for it. Well, that makes the price of stuff go up. So all that stuff's going to hit the fan one of these days and going to come to an end. You can't go no place.
Well, that makes me know that the dollar has depreciated a considerable. If it doesn't buy as much, hallelujah.
Well, let me say this. We have quite a few people on the line, and we have a few people in the chat line as well. And we want everyone to feel free to join in on this conversation. I checked out the dinar. Stephanie, are you talking about the Iraqi dinar?
There's a Kuwaiti dinar. There's an Iraqi dinar. There's a Bahrain dinar. But a lot, I think it's more the Kuwaiti, the Kuwait.
Okay.
The Kuwaiti
dinar. Okay, and if you think it's a lot stronger than the dollar right now?
Well, I think when you talk about strong, a lot of people would say that it's the strongest currency right now. But
okay.
I mean, but in terms of trading, you can always, trade a currency, like a dollar against a Canadian dollar or a Kuwaiti against, a euro and gain gain some.
Yeah, because when I looked it up online, one Kuwaiti dinar is equal to $3.53 of the U.S. dollar, so it is pretty strong about right now.
That's very strong.
It's extremely strong. Wow.
And when in what I do remember from currency trading is that a currency is always going to reflect how strong or how good the country is going. So if the United States dollar keeps slipping, that means inflation is high, the system within the country is not working. It's just not working. Nobody has faith in that country, so they don't use that currency as much.
So let me ask a question here.
I totally agree 100%. And, this is the whole reason why, we have these type of programs so that we can inform our people, as to what's going on. I mean, because all of the economists all over the Internet have been talking about the crash of the U.S. dollar, and even though it is the number one currency on the market that's being traded between countries, it's still a currency that has little value. It's fiat currency. There is no gold to back it up, and they're printing as
correct.
Much as they need to spend, and eventually that is not going to last forever. It has already lasted a lot longer than everyone anticipated. Brother Donia, you have a comment?
Yes, I wanted to say that what backs the American dollar is what makes the banks be able to trade for the American dollar is that humans is the commodity that they're using today. American dollar used to be backed by gold, but now it's backed by the human commodity. You understand? When they go to the Federal Reserve, and they want to borrow some money, they say, "What is your collateral?" The collateral is the human. You understand? And so
that's very true.
So what's happening now is that We've borrowed so much. Well, not we, because I didn't have nothing to do with it. But the United States has borrowed so much money that they borrowed two times or three times the commodity that they don't have. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, that is a beautiful thing. Now, my question to you, Sister Stephanie, is in response to the Nation of Yehuda, because we are continually building the Nation of Yehuda, and we definitely need people like you in our finance department to help us with the funds that are coming in, because we're bringing, you know, people are constantly donating to us. We're putting things in place. As I said before, you know, I'm not quite sure about involving our finances in the markets because of the corporations and the things that we know about that we're totally against, even though we do have to participate in this economy. We have to participate in this economy until the Most High says otherwise. But if you had to advise us from a nation standpoint, if you were sitting down right now from your expertise and your knowledge that you've had, and we understand that you're not licensed to do any of this, but from the knowledge that you've had, if you were to sit down with our director of finance, what advice would you give us in terms of a nation? Say we had $1.5 million sitting in a trust fund somewhere and it's just sitting. What would you recommend us do?
I would recommend that you buy as much, you know, physical commodities as you have. Like if you have a vault or some sort of, you know, place where you can put any gold or any diamonds or any silver or anything like that, I would advise buying those physical commodities. And then, you know, if, you know, you feel that there is more to do, then, you know, go into the markets and see if you can get something within a 3 months or 6 months or a year, because, you know, honestly, we don't know how much, you know, time we have left before, you know, anything happens. But I would advise buying, you know, something physical and spread it out over the commodities. And then once you have something physical, then look at the markets. You know, then look at, you know, changing your 401k or your IRA and put it in, you know, a diversifying, you know, hedge fund or, you know, something of that nature. Because that I see is more, you know, long term. But, you know, in a short term, you want to have as much physical as you can stock up on safely, you know, and especially, you know, if you don't have, you know, already, you know, start. I know the community there in Israel, they do this too, but, you know, have the food where you can plant, you know, have the resources where you're able to sustain yourself with growing your own, you know, having your own rainwater system, or having a way where you can sustain yourself and sustain your wealth. Okay, so having the physical, then having your food, your fruit, your vegetables, and a way to have your water, and have your own, you know, way harvest your, because people, you know, they can even, you know, after a year, you know, your feces you can use as manure. You know, thinking about these things, we have to, you know, think about how can we utilize everything we have, you know, and be set, be ready in different pockets of, you know, of the nation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Hallelujah.
With you. I agree with 100%, and I think that what we're doing here at the Nation of Yehuda, the Yehuda Project, is informing people and giving people this information, because so many people have led our people astray in believing that it's okay to be comfortable, it's okay to trust in the system, because it's never failed us, you know, and it's not going to fail us. But we know for an assurity, according to prophecy, that certain things are going to take place, and it's happening very rapidly. You know, so again, here we have, ladies and gentlemen, we have another young lady that has come aboard that says, you know, we have to be self-sustaining. We have to feed ourselves. The same thing that Brother Adonai and I have been saying to you for the longest is to get prepared because you're going to have to feed yourself. Find, you know, and to those people who have hundreds of thousands of dollars in 401ks and different things like that, I would definitely look into, as she said before, diversifying, you know, some physical currency, but some tangible items that you can have as well, because we're going to have to be able to handle ourselves in this current market and what's getting ready to come. And I don't care how comfortable, and the United States has been a superpower for many, many years, and, you know, we have all sorts of trade information and all the stuff at our disposal. But at the same time, the global scene is showing us, and the things that are happening right now globally, they're letting us know that under no uncertain terms will this remain the same. They are moving toward a one-world government. They are moving toward a one-world currency, and they are moving toward a one-world religion. And this currency that they're moving toward is not the U.S. dollar. So we have to start preparing our people, because as they move, we're moving in the same direction. We just have a different agenda, and we have a different journey. So, again, this young lady has taken the time to bring this information to us so that we can prepare ourselves and to be ready and to know what to do, because the worst thing in the world we can happen, just like the real estate bubble, you know, we all felt like because we own property that we had a certain amount of wealth in property, and then when the real estate bubble busted, everyone lost all of the wealth that they had in their property because it wasn't worth anything. And we don't want that to happen as well with the money that we have stored up in the bank, thinking that, okay, I have $150,000 in the bank, and that's a cushion for me for a while. That once that currency exchange changes, then that could be as useless as toilet paper.
That is correct.
And we should learn from what happened in Greece and the other Eastern, you know, European countries. The government took their savings. So you think you have your money is safe at the bank? No. All they have to say is blase, 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 and they have taken it. So, you know, it's best you take what you know is yours and you have it by your side. And, you know, you can travel with it or do whatever, but you need to have what's yours, you know.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is something that I've been trying to explain to everybody. They're going to give you pennies on a dollar. So I would think that if you got this opportunity now, you might want to take a look at some of the things that the sister was talking about, and see what you want to do with your money, because if you wait too long, you're only going to get pennies on your dollar. You're not going to get face value anyway. A dollar is not going to be a dollar is not a dollar anymore. You understand? It's not 100 pennies. and if you wait too long, you're only going to get pennies on them dollars. So I suggest that you take heed to what you're hearing today. You understand? And try to get with somebody that you trust their understanding enough to make some changes in your life, because it's a sad thing. It, you know, that'll make you go up to the top and jump off once you find out you ain't got but $2 on that $200,000.
Woo. That's true.
Yes, and people have done it, unfortunately.
That is correct.
That is happening, and it's happened physically to people, and people don't realize that it can happen. It's happening every day. It's happening every day, and we've got to
truth.
Hold on. I want to play something for you all to hear, that there's an executive order that he's already assigned to seize the Americans' bank account. So I just want to play something for you all to hear so we know exactly where we are. Give me one moment. Here we go.
And the heights. Good day to you, my friends. Obama's executive order now allows seizures of all American bank accounts. Sounds almost like Greece or Cyprus, but oh no, it is the United States of America under Barack Hussein Obama. It is titled Executive Order from the President regarding authorization, the implementation of certain sanctions. And order, the order says that if an individual is declared by the President, the Secretary of State, or the Secretary of the Treasury to be a sanctioned person, he or she will be unable to obtain access to his or their accounts. You will be unable to process any loans or make them or move them to any other financial institutions inside or outside the United States. This is all in the name of Iran sanctions, which is complete bullshit. With the executive order, it does not matter where you keep your money, stocks, or any kind of valuables. If it is within the reach of Obama, he can and will take it all.
All right. So if this is true and they have these executive orders and they're able to seize your – I mean, that's what happened in the Great Depression. It happened the same way. They closed the bank down, and if you had money in it, you just didn't get it. It was gone.
Just didn't get it. Wow.
And I don't think that we getting it now.
Right, but I mean, you know, if we save our money, and what we're trying to let everyone know is, you know, even though you have these cushions and you're comfortable, even with Social Security, I mean, think about Social Security. By the time we reach the age of, what is it now, 68, and my daughter is 34, by the time she reaches the age of retirement, it'll probably go up, and there will not be any Social Security available for us, and we still pay into it. So, I mean, you know, the bottom line is that the normalcy that we know now is not going to be the same normalcy, and it's changing rapidly, and we're just trying to give everyone an opportunity to know exactly how fast it's changing, and like the young lady said, to diversify your assets and be able to put something tangible in your hand, and still you can still participate in the stock market and the trading and all of those things, but you have to be able to have something tangible so that you can have something that your family can trade with and to be self-sustaining and growing our own food. I keep hearing that over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I'm trying to get everybody to understand here is that there's a window of opportunity here, and it's closing fast. So we need to try to find out what we're going to do and how we're going to try to sustain ourselves. Because when the smoke clears, we still supposed to be here. We supposed to be these people that to bring righteousness and truth to the rest of the world that's left. You understand? And the only way that we can do that is that we get to come together as a nation of people and start putting together a strategy to sustain ourselves overall. After it all, because this is going to pass here. This right here is a fantasy world. You understand? That was put together, that the Almighty allowed to be put together. You understand? For our chastisement. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'd like to make an announcement. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, please feel free to push one. We want to talk about it because one thing I want to deal with is the whole sovereignty movement, because that movement has come up again, and we need to talk about that movement as well, you know, because a lot of people are joining the sovereignty movement. They're separating themselves from the United States as dual nationals, national citizens of the nation of Israel, and also a born national of the United States of America. And the way this system is being rapidly put together, it's not going to make any difference what nation you're with or who you're with, you're going to have a plan to be able to survive. It's not going to make any difference whether you're sovereign or a U.S. citizen. You're going to have a plan to survive. And we have to put those plans in place. Now, what may happen, you know, to their benefit is the government may say, okay, well, you need to leave America. And then, you know, I've also heard that Ghana has opened up their doors to us to say if we wanted to come there again that we could. How do you feel about that, being in America, being going back to Ghana to live as a citizen there again, Stephanie?
Oh, my, I would love that. That would be great. I mean, ideally, I would love to go back to the land, you know, where that was given to our forefathers. But if Ghana has offered and is, you know, willing to help me, my family, and you know, our descendants, I mean, my goodness, I would be elated to be a part of that.
Shalom. This
all right,
is Adonia.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, that is definitely an option. I know that they were looking at that at one point as an option to be able to actually go over to Ghana, buy some land, and to be over there and to live and go back to the land from that perspective. Our goal is, though, with the Nation of Yehuda, we're going into our own land. We are looking for the Most High to make it possible for us to go back into our own land and to be able to sustain our own economy. So, you know, our goal is to do that from that standpoint. And we're preparing our people with the education and the knowledge necessary so that we can begin to do this. And this is what this show is initially about, because a lot of people are ready to make the transition. They're just afraid because the things that are going on right now as far as the war, but we can begin to start making changes. We can begin to start setting up an account, you know, so that we're able to be able to move over into Israel and live in Israel as a citizen, a Hebrew Israelite citizen. So, I mean, you know, these are the reasons why we put this show together as well, so that the people who are considering going back to the homeland will have a plan, because we have to have a plan. You just can't pack up and just leave and say, okay, I'm going home. No, you have to have a plan, and then you know, you have to know what the plan of the powers that be are, so that you will be able to strategically maneuver through those plans and be able to arrive at your destination successfully. Brother Donia, you have any? If I've invited anyone to this show and you're on the list in the listening audience, please push one. And if not, if you'd like to add a comment, we'd like to hear from you, push one as well. Brother Donia, you have any response to that?
I do. Here's what it says, and I mean, I'm not going to read it. I'm gonna allow you to read it. It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 11, and it talks about back home, not to any other place. You understand? Mm-hmm. We're not going to get the blessing if we're in some other land. We're supposed to get a double portion, a double blessing once we go home. You understand? Mm-hmm. And my suggestion here is that we're trying to set up a government structure in the homeland with the peoples that's already there. And I'm trying to get to the homeland so I could be a part of the restructuring of the of our government, because it makes no sense for us to go over there and we don't have any kind of plan or anything in place that we got to follow, and we got to follow the laws, statutes, ordinances, and everything. Everybody's up on their own thinking. Now, there's a coordination by the Almighty that has to be done. You understand? We know that he's going to bring us down to the valley of Jehoshaphat and plead with us and purge out all the rebels that are amongst us, so that when we get into the land, we will all be of one accord. We will all be under one understanding. It doesn't say anywhere in the scriptures that I've read that we're supposed to go into another land. It says go home, where the Almighty's name is to be called, where he said that he was going to bring us into back home to a land flowing with milk and honey. Of course, man, yes. Don't expect us to go back there and poof, everything going to be lovely. We're going to have to go to work. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves, put things in place, and do what we need to do to even for our future generations. That's my that's what I have to say. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Wow, that's exciting.
Sister Stephanie, do you have a comment or of any kind to make in response to what he just said?
I have to say hallelujah. I mean, when he was saying that, I mean, my heart is just burning and just excited. I mean, I would love, I mean, this is what I want to do. I mean, I am praying that within the next few weeks I can be able to do that. You know, actually go into the land and be there and do Torah. I mean, that's my hope. And so when he's talking about, you know, the government and such, I would really like to, you know, talk about a grassroots of how we can get this done, you know, because there's a lot of, I'm not the only one. There's people, you know, that want to go back to the land and, you know, be who we're supposed to be. You know, how do we do that? What's the first step?
The first step is for us.
Go ahead, Brother Donnie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the first step for us is to get with some peoples like the Nation of Yehuda who's trying to put together a government structure. And we're working with a better world who is already in the land. You understand? So here's my view. I'd rather be a part of putting together the government structure than to go into something that I'm not going to be happy with, but I'm going to have to do with they way anyway. So I got a ground floor opportunity here. I can get with these people right here and help to put together this government structure in the name of the Almighty with his laws, statutes, and orders and the blessings of the Almighty than to go in there and have to be under somebody else's understanding that I'm not going to be happy with. So this is the first thing is find out what, you know, and the Nation of Yehuda is grassroots. But we're going to make it, you understand? And they got other people that you can latch on to. But I suggest the Nation of Yehuda because I'm a Judite. I believe in that David's genealogy has to be in that land to put the things together. That's my suggestion.
And in response to what he has to say, and I'd like to say this, it is very, very difficult for us to even stand up today as King Dawi's descendants because we receive so much opposition from so many people. One, because we're female, and two, because people refuse to believe it. Everybody
female.
Wants to know, well, how do you know? Well, who told you? Well, this
female.
One or other. And the fact that we're females, on top of everything, is very difficult. But we have been given the mandate and the sanction by the Most High to build the Nation of Yehuda. And people have to understand that the tents of Yehuda have to be raised first. I mean, it's a lot of different organizations out there, you know, that are trying to build nations and bring nations together. But the scripture clearly says that the tents of Yehuda have to be raised first. No one can be able to go in and supersede the royal house of King Dawid and be able to implement anything because the Most High has an order that he's always had in place and it'll always be in place. You know, but our job is not to roughhouse anybody or be hard-nosed with it. You know, we're just asking for the participation of the people so that the people understand that we're going in. No one's on the throne. We are coming in as representatives, setting up a base in Israel so that the people that are there will have a foundation that's already there, and that is our main goal. Brother Donnie,
Yeah, I'm not a female. I'm a male. I'm a Judite.
Well, we know that. I mean, I understand that. I mean, but I was just talking about the
I just wanted a point of clarity.
But, you know, we're trying our best, and we need people like you, Stephanie, and all of the people that you have with you as a base that will be willing to roll up their sleeves and make this thing happen. And we will be going over to the Holy Land really, really soon and being able to actually see Arad. And we want to set up our office in Arad. We already have an office in Arad through Members of a Better World. And we're going to do whatever we need to do to make that happen, you know, so that we can have a presence in our land. And the Amitai, which is a nonprofit organization, is how they have allowed us to be able to do that. Because we can come in under their Amitai and work, and people can come there and begin to help to create a community and actually receive jobs and be able to get paid. Now, this is not the Exodus, because a lot of people be like, well, it ain't time for us to go over there yet, and it ain't time for you to be over there. And you know what? I beg to differ, because when I was in the military, I had the opportunity as a military wife, and we lived in all different countries. So anyone has the freedom of choice to go and live in any country that they feel like they want to live in, and it has nothing to do with prophecy. I know people that are living in Guam. I have friends that live in Germany. I have friends that live in Japan. So there are people, there are Americans living all over the world, and just because we choose it to be Israel, everybody has a problem with that because we're not following prophecy. That's a bunch of crap, because we can live anywhere we want. And for the people who want to make that journey, our job at the Nation of Yehuda is to be there as a reference and a point of contact for the needs that you might have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can say, you know, you definitely have my support. You know, anybody who I come in contact with, you know, who will listen to me, you know, I would definitely, you know, speak highly of you and help you in any way that I can, sister, brother. I definitely will. Because I wholeheartedly believe, you know, we need to be there. There needs to be a lamp of righteousness in that, in our land, in our home. I mean, my goodness, of all places, where, you know, can the name, you know, his laws, his statutes, his commands. I mean, this, you know, it talks about, you know, there'll be teachers of righteousness. I mean, I don't know of a better time than now. I mean, people want to wait for this, you know, fuzzy feeling or you know, an angel or whatever to pick up your shirt and bring you over there. But, I mean, we also have to use common sense, and we have to use the resources that we have. And if he has put something on your heart, which I know he's put on my heart and yours, you know, we got to do it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And right now, the Israel is not looking too good in the eyes of the United Nations. They're not looking too good in the terms of how they've handled this war and how they have just annihilated the Palestinians. You know, and this may be a perfect opportunity for us to be able to approach them and say, you know, from a public relations standpoint, something is going to have to be done, you know, for you to come back into the good graces of the world and for them to be able to see you, you know, as humanitarians or, you know, sympathetic to the human person, you know, and what better way than allow us to be able to come back into our own homeland and give us the land so that we can rebuild on our own land. That may be the way the Most High is going to do that. I'm not sure.
Hallelujah. Yeah, well, one thing
I'm really not sure, but something has to be done, because at this point they're looking real bad right now.
Well, you know, one thing that we do know, we know that the Almighty said for us to gather. The coordination of everything else is in His hands. Trust me, He know what He's doing. You understand?
Yeah, He does.
It will become apparent as things go on. You understand? As we gather ourselves, things will start becoming clearer and clearer as to what his plan is. He's not going to give it all to us. He did that in the last 7 captivities that we was involved with. He let us have it and gave, you know, and then guess what? We got kicked out the land again,
Yes, we did.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So why it doesn't make sense to me, and I'm not a leader, you understand, for him to just let us have, give us his whole plan and how he going to do stuff, you understand, because we get the big head all the time. We start thinking that we run the stuff. You understand? And we ain't running nothing.
Yeah, that's right. We're running a
thing. The Almighty is powerful beyond compare. You understand? And we could just look, if you just sit back and take a look at how he's putting things together. Man, do you know that we lost 2 days out of every week for a while here? You understand?
Wow.
You know, and you know, if you they said there was going to be four, somewhere it reads that it's going to be 4 blood moons. We down to the last blood moon. Next year, the last blood moon's supposed to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know what that means? That means the Almighty going to be right behind him. You understand? Bringing his wrath. So we ain't got very much time to be playing around with this thing. Hallelujah.
Right.
Again, you know, like I said, Sister Stephanie, we appreciate it. We will definitely be in touch with you so that we can put some information together for the nation of Yehuda so we will be able to move out, because the scripture says that when we leave, we are leaving with great wealth. So it is clear that we're not going to have a potato chip bag under our arm running for the borders of Israel. The Most High was very clear about our return and that we were going to leave with great wealth. Even in Christianity, they used to always quote the scripture that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So, you know, we are expecting for us to be able to leave with a substantial amount of wealth. And Brother Dolia and I were talking, you know, we never did get our 40 acres and a mule. We got social service programs and welfare and food stamps, which did not by any means replace the hard work of all of our ancestors who are dead and buried today in this land. And as we begin to move through, you know, and to be able to adjust and to prepare for the exodus, we want everyone to realize, you know, that we're not opposed or bringing any opposition to the Israeli government. We want to come over and be able to help to build our own economy. I mean, you know, our forefathers helped, we built this country, you know, off the backs of the dead slaves, and, you know, they were the commodities at one point. You know, our ancestors were the commodities traded back and forth, you know, physically traded on the slave market. So, you know, now it is time for us to begin to prepare, you know, for us to make the move, to be able to make the move out of here so that we can go back home, because it was promised to us that he was going to allow us to go home. So, you know, my suggestion to you and to all of the people that are listening that have come on the line, you know, with you or anyone else that's out there, go to our website. Our website is www.noymonarch.us. So it's noymonarch.us. And look around, because, you know, we're trying to prepare ourselves for the overflow, because we know it's coming. Because he also said in his word that he was going to wake a nation up in a day. And, you know, even from the church, you know, we have a lot of family members that are still in the church. They're not satisfied. They have been promised everything from the kitchen sink. And it has not produced itself, because it was the scriptures were taken out of context. So the only thing that they can promise them now is a trip to heaven. And you know, when you try to bring clarity to that issue, they get upset, because that's the only hope they have. And, you know, our response to those issues is, you know, don't allow another person to let you know, to tell you when the story is over, because they have an expected end. The Gentiles have an expected end. But for us, it is just the beginning of something great.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct. We supposed to have 1,000 years of righteousness.
That's
1,000
right.
years of righteousness. We got to get through that 1,000 years of righteousness. You understand? And it's supposed to be, righteousness is supposed to spring out from the four corners of the earth. You understand?
Yes.
And you know, one other thing I want us not to get so focused on, you understand? Let's not get so focused on the riches that we're supposed to have. I think we lose focus when we pay more, when we pay to the riches, the richness. You understand? The Almighty has that in plan, but that's His coordination. We will
yes.
see that. See, if we pay attention to the riches, a lot of us will just sit down and wait for the riches. Won't do nothing.
That's
you understand? You know, so mm-hmm. we got to pay more. We got to stay more focused on coming together and know to do something. Everybody's thinking about that riches. That means that they ain't gonna do nothing till the riches get there. And so when we ask them to pick up a stick, they ain't gonna want to do it because they're too rich. Hallelujah.
All right, we have another caller. Let's go on the line. Hold on, Sister Stephanie. I don't want you to go anywhere if you can hold on. Area code 443. Go ahead. You're on the air. How may we help you?
Shalom, shalom, family. This is your host, Joel Carl from Baltimore, Maryland.
Shalom, shalom.
Hey, first of all, I'm enjoying the show. It's really pricking my brain. But something I would like to add to the nationalistic talk conversation, per se, is that one thing that we need to take into consideration is creating industry. What do I mean by that? Something that we specialize in as a people, that nobody can do it better than us. And when we do it, everyone has to come to us. Something that we need, something that we utilize, and something that the world can benefit from. I give you a perfect example. Nobody, we know we set the tone for fashion, regardless of the perversion you may see today. They come to us for everything. And we know what kind of apparel we should wear as far as materials. So we decided that we wanted to use cotton, for example. Nobody should be specializing in cotton more so than us. So if we decided to grow it, we could grow it, we could nurture it, we could do whatever we have to do to manufacture it. We're talking about jobs now. Instead of them having to go over there, leave here working for the slave master and go over there working for another slave master. We're talking about creating industry now.
That is correct.
We have from grassroots, from farmers, we have those that are horticulturists, those that specialize in science, those that know how to cultivate land. Then we have to have the manufacturers, those that can transform from raw product to material, those that are designers, that can design material that we don't have to look like we're wearing sackcloth and ashes all the time, but something fashionable, but also that's within our laws, that looks like us, glamorous. Now we have an industry for that. Folks that know how to design that. Now we're also creating different kind of textiles, fabrics, designers for that. Then we have those that are the seamstress and the tailors. We're talking about an industry. Then we're going to have accountants that know how to do the money, marketing, advertising. So we got to think, if we're going to be nationalistic, we have to think nationalistic. We have to have these nationalistic minds. Because all too often, because this is where we come from, and it's no disrespect to where we come from, but this is where we are. We only think from a mom-and-pop standpoint, and we haven't learned to think as a nation. That's why we have this camp mentality that wears us down so much, because we haven't thought as a nation. And we could do this very type of paradigm that I just presented with anything, particularly stuff that we benefit and what we use. We're saying we're getting rid of it. We talk about that at another time. But I'm simply saying is that we can create, because the greatest commodity that we have, because we know that the world system is crumbling, but the greatest thing we have is Yah's treasured possession, which is us.
That is correct.
We have to invest in us, but we have to invest in us by elevating the mind of the individual brother and sister, because we've been beat down so long. They have to understand what they've been created to do. So you're going to school and you got this nice degree, but you're going to go work. It's like people majoring in business to go work for somebody else. I never understood that.
Me neither.
That's a psychotic issue there that's been put inside of our brain. But now that then we can train up our yellow dean to have a sense of purpose. So you don't have to be fearful because we got something to put you in. Like, for give you a quick example before I go. My children go to Morgan State University here in Baltimore. And it's a whole lot of Saudi Arabian children that go there. Just like when I was there, there's a lot of children from West Africa. They're not coming here to get a job to buy into the American dream. They're coming to get a skill set so they can take it back home and build their land.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's what we have to begin to do nationalistically, to start from the children's schools, discern their purpose, guide them towards their purpose. If a child is artistic, all they're doing is drawing, stop trying to make them cook. Get them into something that's going to cultivate that gift that the nation can benefit from. And, and then we could bring it back and hold it in and say, young man, young woman, you don't have to worry about finances. The nation's going to finance you to go to school because we know you're going to come back and be a pillar to the industry that we have here.
Hallelujah.
That's how we got to start thinking. And then that kind of stuff will produce fruit that you can't argue. I don't care what camp you're on, whether you're the street hollers or you're the whoever, the brothers and sisters over here doing their thing. You can't argue that because the common denominator with all of us as a people here in this country, we're broke.
True.
We're broke. We're the tail right now. When God promised, we're supposed to be the head, above only, not beneath. But we can change that. We got into this mess as a team, as a nation. We can get out of this thing as a nation. But it's start think like a nation and not think like a church, a religion.
Mm. Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Toda Rabba. Chase you. You
Hallelujah.
Understand?
We completely concur. We completely agree with the brother. You know, and we're putting different programs together. I think the problem is, though, is that we have so many people that are mentally damaged to the point where they have been programmed to the point where they don't support each other, that our biggest struggle is going to capture back the minds of our people because they have the disposable dollars. They're spending it. They have it. You know, and we bring about disposable dollars to the whole market itself, and they rely on their dollars from the church to the Arab store to the chicken place on the corner in your neighborhood to the gas station that the Arabs own. They're in our neighborhoods because they want those dollars that we have, and this is how they survive. So all we're trying to say and what the brother is saying is let's bring those same dollars to our people so we can trade it among ourselves because we're in captivity, but we're not captive to the point where we can't contribute or participate in this economy. We still participate whether it's willing or unwilling. We still buy things from different people. We just don't buy from ourselves.
Yeah. Shalom, I want to comment on that also. First of all, I appreciate you, brother. You say the same exact thing. I just don't say it as eloquent as you. But the nation of Yehuda has aligned themselves with a better world. And what I was, what I had mentioned is that if we could buy land over there in Israel, you understand, we could get people that want to work that land to build the cotton field. You understand? And by the feet in the ground, we could be building industry so that when we take that cotton out, when we harvest that cotton, and we can turn it into whatever we want to turn it into, you understand, and sell it amongst ourselves and even sell it commercially. You understand? So these things have to be done. I want to ask you, if you would come to the think tank, bring that passion to the think tank, some paperwork or whatever, so that we'll have this on record so that we can work through these things. You understand? It's one thing to say something, but there's another thing about us doing it. You understand? It's good. It sounds good. But if something happens, you understand what I'm saying? It's just rhetoric. And I appreciate everything. Everything that you said, I didn't say it all last year and half of this year. You understand? You know, we gotta start doing things. You understand? Instead of just talking about it, let's get together with a few of your comrades. You understand? Put together a little money package. You understand? Go over there. get with a better world, and let's buy some of that land. You understand? So that we can build on that land. You understand what I'm saying? I think Nasi Asiel had said one time that there was 50 acres, it was $10,000 or something like that. You understand? We should be able to buy that, man, and get started, because the land is going to be flowing with milk and honey. Once we get back there, he's going to make sure that we get the rain in our season and everything. Hallelujah.
Am I still hot? Am I still on?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm with you, and hopefully you're part of the meeting that we have planned for tomorrow. The thing that I would also suggest, remember one thing our foreparents did that the Egyptians despised? We heard a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
What about that wool, you know? I remember seeing that in Ghana, seeing young men herding huge cow for the sake of the hide.
That is great.
But that wool was something that we could use. We could do whatever with it. But what I'm just saying is there's so much that's within us. And you mentioned something about the people of Bita. Absolutely right. And we have to do something to put, because our people have been devalued, and particularly in our own communities, devalued. And that's why we can call each other the N-word and all this other stuff, because we don't see the value in ourselves and each other. So one of the things that we can do is value people by letting them see, hey, we can't do this without you. We need your participation. We got to cultivate the gifts and the talents, and we help recultivate the gifts and talents within people that have been dormant for so long. And that's one of the things that we got to have something in place that we can find out what people do. What do we have as our nationalistic inventory? What do we have here? And how we can put this person to work that's been out of work for some time. We got something right here for them to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I agree 100%. Brother Donia, I did send you an email about the meeting that we're having tomorrow, so check your email. And one thing I wanted to announce is that the brother is we're going to have a private conference call tomorrow with this brother and his constituents as they begin to explain or present to us business opportunities that they have. We also have an entrepreneur program that we are developing, and for all of the people that are out there that are listening under the sound of our voice, that is why we ask you to email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, because we want to put together a chamber of commerce. We are trying to put together an industry where we can go on and pull up certain businesses and be able to start buying from ourselves, because we're still buying and selling. We're just not doing it to ourselves, with each other, and helping us to keep our disposable dollars within our nation. You know, and those are the things that we have to do. We've made everybody else rich. Everybody else is rich, and they love to see us coming, because they know that that welfare mother is going to buy her son a pair of $100 gym shoes, even though she can't afford it. She's going to make sure he has it. The Chinese people had the wig stores in the black neighborhoods, because they know that when the black women see Beyonce and all them sisters on the television and in the music industry with the weaves and the fake fingernails and the eyelashes, that we are people that, like you said, we like to look good. Now, what everyone's definition of good is two different things, but we have made the Chinese people rich with the wig stores. So, I mean, these are the things that we have to really look at economically to say that we can turn this thing around. And what angers me is I see so many people that have become conscious that they're Hebrew Israelites, that they've lost the motivation and the drive to have something. That it's like, okay, now I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I have to be poor and destitute because Yah is coming to get us. We don't live in that kind of a country. We live in America where you can still make something of yourself. You can still, it's still free enterprise. You can still come up with an idea that can possibly bring you wealth. Like he said, it's a supply and demand. We have to begin to start using that, because psychologically the enemy tricks us into thinking that we just got to sit down and be the dry bones until Yah comes and rescues us out of our situation. And that's the biggest trick he's ever pulled. And that's not true. We don't have to just sit down and wait for Yah to come and get us and take us back into our alone. Lamb, we can live right now, right today, and start doing things to better our situation. Even though we are not the major force and we realize that the government of the United States is running this country and we're not trying to take over anything, but we can participate in commerce and in economics and change our current situation. But they say we're just poor Hebrew Israelites, and because we're in this captivity, we just got to sit down and wait till Yah come and get us for our situation is going to get better. He never said that. He never
that is
told
correct.
Them that. Even when they went to Babylon, Jeremiah told them, get comfortable, buy you some houses, have a family. In other words, participate in the economy because you're going to be there for 70 years. So enjoy yourself while you're there, but know for an assurance that after 70 years you're coming out. It's the same situation here, but the mentality that happens with the awakening for most of us is we just poor, pitiful Hebrew Israelites. We just got to sit down and wait till Yah come and get us before the change comes. And that's not fair, and that's the enemy.
And that is. That is. Because how, if you have that mentality and he does present you with an opportunity, how can you, you won't even be able to see it because you're
that is
still
correct.
Being, you know.
Exactly. Exactly, Sister Stephanie. And that is exactly what has happened to us as a people. They have just taken us, and you know what, they promote everything and everybody else. And we believe it. Like I said, they'll put a commercial on the Swift Sweep or whatever, and they'll have a black person dancing through the house, pushing his broom and his mop, and we don't realize that that's a psychological mind, a brainwasher to tell you, oh, I need to get one of those Swift Sweepers. And we'll go out and spend money for that when it's no different than what we already have, and they've achieved their goal, and that is to get those dollars from you. So we still have to try to understand what it is and support our own, and that's what we've been saying forever. And I think that the problem is, though, is the politics. It's the politics. Everybody wants to, they want to be in control. Everybody wants to run the program. And our position with that is this. You know, when we start making disposable dollars for the nation of Yehuda and people start to paying into a treasury, we're going to have it set up where there's going to be a number of people on the board that manages the money and determines and allocates where that money is going to go to. It's not going to go to one person. It's going to be all kind of internal controls in place so that it is there for the good of the people. And like me and Brother Donal was talking about the other day, if we set up a co-op, just say, for instance, we set up a co-op, well, not a co-op, but where we all pay into a certain amount. Say we have a family, everybody pays $100 a month, and it's for to make sure that when the rough time comes, that we have money at our disposal to be able to help us. So, say for instance, Stephanie, you've paid into it for a year and a half, and then all of a sudden you lose your job and you don't have a way to pay your rent. Well, you should be able to come to the nation of Yehuda and say, you know, I'm in trouble. I need you all to float me for a couple months until I get back on my feet, and this is how much I need. And it should be no problem in us giving it to you. But because we don't trust each other, most people won't even involve themselves in it.
See, it's not only the help that we get, help that we will help her get on her feet by physically involving ourselves and making sure that her business or whatever picks up until she sustains
herself. On Facebook all the time. Black people do it on Facebook all the time. They'll get on Facebook and say, you know what, I have a problem, I'm stranded, I'm stuck in this city and I need somebody to help me, and can you all help me? And people will rally together on Facebook and begin to send money to that individual. That's the same thing we're trying to do now. We're trying to do the very same thing. We're just not using Facebook to do it because we're doing it from a national standpoint, from a nation standpoint, so that we're there to be able to help you if you need us to help.
That is correct. Yeah.
And that's what should be done. I mean, that's what's needed, so you should be doing it. I don't understand why people don't see it. You know,
Well, see, I'm going to tell you why. The curse. The curse is thick. I'm talking about, man, we've been so inundated with the curse. You understand? We can't see nothing until somebody else, until the nation of Yehuda builds this, puts together this, puts together the nation and puts everything in place. That's when people's eyes become wide open. But until then, we always think. See, remember the Willie Lynch thing. The Willie Lynch thing, man, said, man, listen, we're going to cut his arms off in front of us. We won't have no problem about the rest of them. So the curse is what they believe everything that the European tell them, and as soon as a brother or sister comes up with any kind of plan, you understand, we won't even consider.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And see, what happens with, let me say this too, Brother Donia, as it pertains to the land in Israel, because the reason why it is so difficult to buy land in Israel, because 93% of the land is owned by the Israeli government. They say only 7% of the land is allocated to privately owned individuals. They have so many different rules that say foreign citizens cannot purchase land, but the reason for the Amitah is that they have a clause in there, in those rules, that say if you serve in their military, then you're entitled to so many acres of land, and a lot of the children that are over there that have been a part of the Dimona community have signed up for the military, and they're entitled to so much land that's over in Israel, and this is what they were using to be able to get land for us to be able to do certain things. But like I say, it's a lot of things going on right now at this point, you know, that we have to really investigate in terms of Israel, because most of the land that's owned by the state is the land that was subject to the British mandate prior to the foundation of the state of Israel. So it's given to the government.
But here's one thing that I want you to understand. This is what we got to understand. We're talking about the power of the Almighty, the Creator, the one, our God. You understand?
Yes.
Now,
right.
If we look at what's happening now within the last past year, you can see that the Almighty is working. See, what we have to do is we have to pay more attention to gathering ourselves and putting things in place.
Mm-hmm.
Straighten out all of that. All of that stuff.
I agree with you.
Today you said this, and I heard you say this before. You understand? Is that these people right here, I mean, all we have to do, you understand, we ain't going to have no passport, no sovereignty papers. You understand? And this is what's going to happen. We ain't going to have all of that. We ain't going to have to buy no land. But if we do, here's what we can do. Them people will take money. They will take money. If we say that we're going to, right now that land ain't doing them no good, land dormant. But if we say that we're going to give you X amount of dollars, or let's make out an agreement on what kind. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. His phone went dead, and we didn't get to hear all that. Brother Donia, if you could repeat it, we heard work out an agreement. That's all we heard.
No. What I'm saying is that those European imposters will take money. That money, that land is land dormant, not doing anything, not bringing them any kind of money. Did you hear that? You understand what I'm saying? They will make an agreement for that land if we come to them, if the right people come to them. You don't want to send me because I cuss and carry on. You understand? But, you understand, they will take money from that land. All we got to do something. That's what we got to have. We got to have people that want to do something.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
And as for Stephanie, you know, to be able to go into the land, we urge everyone to take your time, you know, investigate everything, you know, and that is what we're doing right now. We're putting things together with the Amitah, Members of a Better World,
and structuring it very carefully so that when the people get there, they will still be able to sustain themselves and have income where they'll be able to live on the economy. So, you know, these are the things that we're telling everybody. If you want to go live in that country, and people live in different countries all the time, if that's where you want to go and you want to live there to help support the nonprofit organization, we encourage everyone to do that if that is what you want to do. We're just going to set the foundation so that you will have a point of contact and resources through the Nation of Yehuda in the event that something happens or you have to come back or you need support or whatever. So, you know, we're doing that in the spirit of unity so that we can all come together for the common cause of gathering ourselves together as a nation. So, you know, we appreciate, you know, you coming on the show today. We will definitely be in contact with you at some later point, real soon, so that we can sit down and see exactly where you fit in, because we need your expertise as it relates to the finance department for our nation and putting things together for us in terms of wealth management. So I think it's an honor. Brother Donny, you have something to say to her?
I don't know the name of the brother that was just on. What was his name?
His name was Yehoshua.
Oh, yeah, Yehoshua, you understand. I'd love to for him to come to the think tank, man, and bring that passion with him. You understand what I'm saying? And ideas and everything, because when we walk away on that third day, we all going to have a job to do.
Absolutely, and he is coming. He did send me an email stating that they were planning for the think tank in Atlanta, and we are putting together some demographics for those people because we want people that are coming that want to do something. And we encourage you, if you're interested in putting your business plan together or setting up some things together, we're planning to build us a database where we have a consumer base already ready to be able to get products and services or be able to present products and services to these people so that we can start buying from each other and sustaining each other, because that's what commerce is all about. You know, that's what capitalism is all about. So this is what we're trying to do. And we are having a think tank. It is going to be the last week of October. It's going to be October 29th, 30th, and 31st. And we will be in Atlanta, Georgia, doing this. We are in the process of setting things up right now. We're going to have boots on the ground as early as the end of the 1st of September to make sure that we let everyone know that we're coming. We can only hold 100 people in this particular venue, so we don't want people coming to spectate. If you are an entrepreneur, you want to put some information together, you want to come and present what you have, we encourage all of you all to come. Again, at the Nation of Yehuda, we have information on our website where we can use individuals who would like to be able to make some things happen, you know, in terms of us putting together a format so that we can sustain ourselves and live in ourselves. So we just say, you know, hallelujah, and we're trying our best to do what we were commissioned to do, and that's to build a nation. So, you know, our biggest fight is our own selves, and that's always been our biggest fight, because we have time for the party, we have time for the weed, we have time for the liquor, we have time to chase the women, the men who chase the women, and we have time for fashion, and we have time for all of that, but we don't have time to put together the things that are important. So, you know, these are the things that we're bringing to each other so that we can make a better lifestyle for ourselves. Sister Stephanie, do you want to say anything to our audience before we say farewell?
I want to say return to Torah and keep the commandments, and may Yahuwah smile upon you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'd like to make an announcement. We will not have a board meeting tonight. We will resume our meeting because we're going to meet tomorrow. So we will catch up with everyone on tomorrow. Sister Stephanie, I will definitely be in contact with you. I have your information, and I will definitely give you a call so that we're able to sit down and see exactly, you know, where you fit in at the Nation of Yehuda, because we would love to have you in our in our finance department with our wealth management and all that. Because one thing people don't realize is that when you are blessed, because let me tell you this, I know people right now today that have hit the lottery. I know people that have hit the lottery today personally. And they went from from rags to riches overnight. I mean, overnight. And they made millions and millions of dollars overnight. And even with that money, they didn't know what to do with it. They did, they didn't have the mental capacity to say, okay, I need to go get an accountant, I need to have an attorney, I need to have someone involved in wealth management, and we need to figure out where we're gonna put all this money. So it is important that we have individuals like Stephanie so that we know what to do when the wealth comes, because a lot of people don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
They don't understand you just can't put $10 million in a savings account.
You can't. No, there's a lot. There's a lot of things.
You can't do it. It has to be a place specifically set up. That money has to be put into different venues so that that money can continue to make money. And a lot of us have never experienced that, so we don't know. You know, so when we bring it to individuals, they're like, well, what do we need to know that for? It's not. Yes, it is important, because if you talk about what we're talking about, and we're talking about global commerce, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to have one idea, let's just say, for instance, we design one T-shirt, and that one T-shirt is advertised on our website and on our store and the different commodities. And we have people from Ghana, and we have people from Germany, and we have military bases that we're advertising this T-shirt to, and colleges, and all of the marketing techniques we use for that one T-shirt, that it is being sold all over the world. Do you know that you can make $1 million in less than a week, a day?
Oh, yeah.
Easy. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But because we've never been exposed to it, we don't realize it can happen. The Most High can make you a millionaire in a day. Look at the dot-com boom. It was so many millionaires out of the dot-com boom that people didn't even realize that they had made as much money as they made. Overnight. Am I right or wrong, Stephanie?
You're right. You're so right. You're so right. You see, and see, I think that's why it's so important if we humble ourselves before him and ask for the wisdom, he'll give it, you know, but then you have to do what he says. You know, you have to do what he says. I mean.
Absolutely correct.
Absolutely. And most people who hit the lottery are broke within a year or two, because they don't know what to do with it. They don't understand that money makes money. And this is how you have all of these old families that have old money, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Wharves and the Schiffs and the Warburgs and all of these people that have been around and the one who Hiltons and all the, they have a trust that someone manages, and this has been going on for generations upon generations upon generations upon generations, that this wealth has been passed down from generation to generation. That's not so far-fetched, people, that it can't happen. We have black people that live like that today.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what happened to me.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, you got to leave a legacy. You got to leave a
legacy. Absolutely. And the thing about it is, the scripture said he gives us the power to get wealth. And once those areas are opened up internationally for us to be able to buy and sell and trade internationally and have it open up to the world, you'll be surprised at what will happen. That's all we're saying, is that he's opening up opportunities. And, again, if you're an entrepreneur and you'd like to be a part of this, you'd like to have some income and you'd like to provide for your families, please email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. And Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, because we're having conference calls
with individuals that have products and services that they want to platform so that we'll be able to expose our people and the consumer to these products and services. That is nothing but marketing. That's the stuff we learn in college so that we'll be able to put it to use. Brother Adonia, you have any last words for our audience?
Yeah, I want to know, you ain't having no executive board meeting when we get off here? What am I going to do with the time that I set aside?
Uh-oh, I'm going to call you and talk to you personally. So, you know, we're not going to have a meeting tonight, but I'm going to call you personally.
I'm
so
just
that
kidding.
You won't feel left alone.
I want everybody to know that I love each and every one of you with an undying love that you have for the Almighty. You understand?
Uh-huh.
I want everybody to get on board and let's get out of this mess that we're in. This is a terrible mess. We're the only ones that can get out of this mess. We're the only ones that can make it happen. So we need to all band together and start moving in the same direction. You understand? Stop pulling away from doing the right thing. And that's only the right thing to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Stephanie, what would you like to say to our people before we leave?
I would like to say, you know, we do need to stand together, you know, under righteousness, which comes from, you know, the Torah. And, you know, once we do that, you know, everything will fall into place. So if we can stay together, stay within the nation, help each other. You know, if you know a single mother, if you know somebody's trying to go to the land, help them out, you know. You don't know what the Most High could do with you just from that one help up, you know, that you did for your brother or your sister.
All right, and that came straight from our young people, straight from that generation that's under us. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom, everybody. Help somebody along the way this week. If you have an extra piece of bread or you have a few dollars, pass it along, like she said, to someone who may need a little help. And watch and see, won't the Most High bless you and give it back to you tenfold. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same place. Don't forget Tuesday at 6:30, Members of a Better World featuring Prince ICL will be on the line, and they will be bringing guests to the show, and we're excited about that. And we'll see you guys next week. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Bye-bye.
Alone with a lover unlike no other. Sad to see a new horizon slowly coming into view. Yeah, I wanna be living for the love of you. Highest time, all that I'm my love and me. Well, smoother than a gentle breeze, flowing through my mind with ease, soft as can be. Well, when you're loving me, when you're loving me, love to be right in the way. Touching. said that I
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for another edition of the Yehuda Project. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Don't forget Tuesday, Members of a Better World featuring Prince Asiel Ben Israel. We'd like to welcome you to that show on Tuesday at 6:30. We will be there. Don't forget to email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. If you have a business idea or you have a business, a product or service that you would like to start to introduce to our people, we are more than welcome. We'd love to sit down with you and talk about it. If you would like to establish a business, we have an entrepreneurship program where we have subject matter experts who will be on scene to be able to help you to put together a business plan, incorporate your business, do whatever it is that you need to have done, and we're ready to do this for the nation of Yehuda and to building up of our people. See you guys next week, same time, same place. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Bye-bye.